Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram on the local beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Vandermark Jewelers is a trusted name in jewelry, and if you stop by, you'll see why. You will have an outstanding jewelry buying experience if you see Jim and Bob and the whole gang down at Vandermark Jewelers. Actually saw Jim yesterday, was walking around Ely Square, stopped by and saw Jim briefly. It's always a great experience when you go there. Matt and I could tell you firsthand, we've had nothing but outstanding jewelry buying experiences at Vandermark Jewelers. If you stop by, you will see why. Dave, it is an honor and a privilege to have you here in studio again. How are you today?
I'm good. Good. Thanks, Bill.
I mean, there are a lot of stories written by Dave O'Brien over the last week and change here, and I'm not quite sure where to begin, so we'll throw a dart at the map here and begin with a story that you did with Auditor Craig Snodgrass talking about how most Lorain County taxpayers will see modest reductions to their property tax bills this calendar year, and it's not going up for taxpayers, it's but coming down modestly. Why is that?
Well, this was, this is basically because some levies went off the rolls, if you will. So if you were paying, if you were paying a 5-year levy, this was the final year of the levy, and some people saw those levies go off. I don't know if everybody knows this, but I think a lot of people might not. A good 60% of your property taxes are going to your local schools. Smaller percentages, obviously, then go off to the to your local MRDD board or to your local Mars board or to any other a police levy here and there, a fire levy here and there. But the vast majority are going to your local school districts. And we just kind of, as a rule, say, hey, this will cost you, five extra dollars for, every month if you own a $100,000 home. That's just kind of the way the math works out. So basically, more than a couple levies passed off the tax rolls this year. So I think the largest reduction was going to be about $43. Per $100,000 value of a home. So, obviously, multiply that by two if your home is worth $200,000, multiply that by three if your home is worth $300,000, so on and so forth. Cut it in half, obviously, if your house is worth $50,000. So there was some of that. In a couple other places, new levies appeared on the ballot, were passed by taxpayers, by voters. And basically, the most significant increase, I think, was about a $200 increase for folks who live in Columbia Township but live in the Strongsville City School District, which is in Cuyahoga County. So there are a couple people in Columbia Township that, if they have kids, they would send them to Strongsville. Or if they don't have children, they still live in that district and have to pay those taxes, which is kind of one of those strange ways that sometimes municipalities get split up between counties. In terms of school districts overlap, county lines. So the increase is because of new levies, decrease because of levies that pass off, or in the alternative, Craig Snodgrass told us that basically North Ridgeville, Avon Lake, some people there are going to pay less on their property taxes because more people moved into town. And the way a property tax works, it says, I want to raise $1 million. That levy will only ever raise $1 million if it passes. So if you have a million people paying $1 million levy, and then all of a sudden another 500,000 people move into your town, and now you have a city of 1.5 million people, you're only that property tax is still – that $1 million is still spread between them. It's still split between all those folks. So if your city grew, if your town grew, if your township grew, if your village grew, and you were paying X on a levy – you might pay X minus whatever the split is between the rest of the people who moved into town. So there is some of that. So economic growth is actually good for taxpayers because they might see a reduction in their personal, property tax.
I feel like there should have been a Schoolhouse Rock episode about this.
Oh, absolutely.
The way you're describing it. There's a lot that goes into this.
And I've been doing this just about 20 years. Yeah. And I had to learn the whole thing from scratch when I moved to Ohio. So
very
that
impressive.
Was, so you get kind of good at it after a while.
Well done.
Nice Schoolhouse Rock reference. Well
thank
done,
you.
Sir.
Yeah. Very
well
done. I felt it had been a while since we had one of those, so I had to bring it back.
Yeah, not sure that we've ever had one of those in the 3 years this show has been on the air. But, well, I want to dive into a number of other different topics, a couple that pertain to the Lorain County Commissioners. But, boy, oh, boy, things got a little heated yesterday at the Lorain County Commissioners meeting with the commissioners and Gerald Phillips. So for those who have not heard, please explain what happened. You were there for all this.
Yeah, so maybe not every week, but Gerald Phillips is running, I should say, first off, he is running for county commissioner as a Republican in the primary in March. He's going to face off against North Ridgeville Councilwoman Michelle Hung. And both of them are then running to be the Republican nominee who will face off against incumbent Commissioner Lori Kakoski, a Democrat, in the November election. So Mr. Phillips showed up under the understanding that he would stand up and give his 3-minute speech. And he said yesterday that would be about economic development in Lorain County, which he considers, for lack of a better term, stagnant and not moving forward. Gave his 3-minute talk during public comment period, sat down, and then as commissioners moved along with their agenda, Mr. Phillips stood up and started to pass out a back and front sheet that says Phillips, sir, commissioner, and lists his resume basically, and then all the things he promises to do as commissioner. When the commissioners took an issue with that, of him passing out what they basically considered campaign literature during their meeting, Mr. Phillips then accused them of violating his First Amendment rights. Some words were exchanged, nothing profane or obscene or anything, but there was a little bit of yelling back and forth. And finally, Mr. Phillips was asked to sit down and or else, be escorted out of the meeting. He decided to leave on his own. And that was kind of that. It was very brief, couple minutes of some exchanges between him and county officials. Mr. Phillips later on said that he was thinking about asking for an apology, and he felt that he was treated poorly. And he said he always tries to be polite and friendly during his engagements with people. But this is not the first time that Mr. Phillips has made headlines, taking issue with elected officials. And we all have that right. I mean, we all have the right to go to city council or county commissioners meetings to redress our concerns and to discuss them with our county officials and bring up things in a public manner. You hope that everything stays civil and friendly and you can disagree and then agree to disagree and move on down the line. And notably, Mr. Phillips is running for commissioner. So it was one of those things where a candidate got up and had an exchange with some folks that, he either may well, depending on the outcome of the election, be sitting next to them, or he may continue to sit out in the audience. It just kind of depends on what the voters want. But we were there to report it, and it was an interesting exchange. And Mr. Phillips has had exchanges, in the past, and he is an attorney and accountant, and has concerns about how government gets run, and that's understandable. That's fine. That's his right to do that. But he has he's done this at Avon Lake meetings before, and I was told by a colleague that he showed up at another Avon Lake meeting again last night, and was there. I don't know what he said or how it was said, but that's these are the kinds of things that sometimes happen in your public meetings. I've been to plenty of them that have been like this before.
Yeah, it's local politics, right? You go to a meeting and a debate breaks out.
Exactly.
That's how it goes.
Some are pretty straightforward, and some not so much. Some provide some fireworks for you to excite your night a little bit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's
well. On a much much lighter note. With the Lorain County Commissioners, they passed a resolution yesterday supporting Issue 17, Lorain County Community College's $2.3 million renewal additional levy. What are the details on this?
Yeah, so this is coming up also on the March ballot. And, Lorain County Community College, every 10 years, they go back to the voters to get some money to continue operations. And I thought LCCC President Marsha Ballinger made a real good point. During her presentation, as she was invited to speak in front of the commissioners, basically, Lorain County Community College has educated an awful lot of nurses, plumbers, firefighters, police officers. I mean, up and down the line, you know, administrative assistants, an awful lot of people who work in Lorain County and serve the Lorain County public went to Lorain County Community College for their education. You know, it's a low cost education. There are many, many different course offerings. And before this turns into some sort of commercial for Lorain County Community College, which is not my job. Basically, she said, you know, think about when you go to the hospital and you end up in there with a sprained wrist or a broken leg or something. Some of your nurses might end up being Lorain County Community College graduates, you know, from the nursing program. If you call the cops because somebody, you know, some kid, you know, in the neighborhood threw a rock through your window or your car got broken into, some of your police officers maybe went to Lorain County Community College, to the police academy, and then were hired by your local department. She said, so there's a lot more of an effect than you might even realize. You know, a lot of people who are your neighbors and friends and people, again, in service industries or in public service, you know, went to the college. And she said the best estimate that they had was for every dollar spent on education there, for every dollar spent by the college to educate students, there is a $14 return economically for Lorain County. So that sounds real interesting, and then that came from a firm called MC, which does a lot of which is based, I think, in Idaho of all places, and they do an awful lot of this kind of analytics for colleges and, you know, in higher education. So that was rather interesting, and this particular levy is a 1.8 mil levy, which is going to cost, you know, a sort of a modest amount again for your, you know, $100,000 homeowner, but then also there's a half mil increase additional that'll cost just a little bit more, maybe the cost of like a cup of coffee, you know every month. I think it's $1.46, and that's going to make up about 12% of LC's operating budget, so kind of modest, you know, modest ask, you know, for what could end up being pretty significant returns if you listen to the college officials talk about it. So that'll be on the March ballot. You know, that's interesting. I didn't know until it came up again that you know the community college did that, went to the voters with an operating levy. So that'll be interesting to see how voters respond to that. Again, you know, there's a lot of considerations that people have when they go and they click that button or, you know, check off that box on the ballot. So we're going to keep following what the issues are in the upcoming election at the Chronicle Telegram, chronicle.com.
$14. That's a pretty interesting number.
It's
an interesting figure. It really is.
I thought so too.
You kind of wonder how they get to that number, don't you? I mean, it really is fascinating how they do these studies and how they break that down. I mean, I'm not stating the validity of this is right, wrong, and different, but I really find that fascinating, and that $14 return. It's really interesting.
I thought so too. I think that's one of those things where I think you probably with an analytics firm, like, you know, coming out and doing surveys with graduates and doing surveys of employers. You know, I've seen that kind of thing in the past where they said, hey, you know, would you rather hire somebody from, you know, graduating from Harvard or from LC? You know, would you rather, you know, hire somebody graduating from, you know, XYZ state or LC? And, you know, what do they do and what do they make and that kind of thing? So I think there's a lot of surveys that go into that. I think it's also they'll probably look at a lot of the, you know, the economic numbers. I bet there's some economists and statisticians and mathematicians who are going over a lot of that data. So, all kind of beyond me. But it was an interesting study. It was kind of an interesting survey, and I'd be interested to see if that goes up, comes down, you know, the next time they do that. So, but yeah, $1 spent equals $14 a return, you know.
Interesting. Very interesting stuff. Again, Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us here on the Local Beat. And the Local Beat is brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Dave, before we get to some scanner stories, I want to hit on one other story that you wrote this past week. How are Lorain County officials starting to work together with the U.S. Census Bureau?
So we had a real interesting meeting last week, and that was basically what is being called the Lorain County Complete Count Committee. And you know, and we also met at LCCCC, so so there were lots of L's and C's going on. But the overall focus of this committee is the county commissioner said, hey, we want to get together, you know, stakeholders, people who, you know, are important in the community, community leaders, pastors, reverends, ministers, you know, rabbis, you know, imams. Anybody who kind of has a stake out there in the community, who is a trusted authority, teachers, superintendents, You know, Mayor Frank Whitfield was there from Elyria. You know, there are folks who have either run for office in Lorain or Elyria before and may not have made it onto council, or, you know, there were community leaders, you know, just city officials, hired city officials, and people like that, who sat in and heard from some specialists, some participation specialists from the U.S. Census Bureau, who basically said, hey, this is the best way to get people more engaged in doing our decennial census, and decennial meaning every 10 years. So obviously 2020, you know, the last time we did this was 2010. Now it's 2020. Census Day is April 1st, and you'll start seeing people on April 1st and throughout the month of May, you know, coming out and just trying to keep count of all of the heads in Lorain County and across the state and throughout the country. This has a great effect on the amount of tax dollars that come back from Washington, D.C., and funnel back to the states, to local entities, to cities, townships, other authorities, your police departments, your fire departments, hospitals, schools. If they want to put in a new hospital and they say, well, there's already too many hospitals in Lorain County, well, you don't need another hospital. You know, well, you might not get federal funding, so it might end up being, you know, if somebody wants a private hospital, okay. You know, this also is how they figure out how many congresspersons we have in the state of Ohio. And rumor has it, Ohio is going to lose at least one congressional seat because it has been losing population. The census helps determine how many people there are and then how many representatives each of those people get. So if it's 50,000 people for every congressperson, which it's much more than that, obviously, but if that's it, then that's it. The problem with Lorain County being that there are some areas, some districts, especially in Lorain and Elyria, where census participation is on the order of something like 30%. Hmm. So they're only counting 30% of the people that are estimated to actually live in a given district. That, therefore, affects the amount of money that the people in that particular district might see from the federal government coming down to Columbus, coming down to Lorain County commissioners, coming down to Elyria, Lorain City Councils, that kind of thing. It affects social services. It affects welfare services. It affects, you know, all of your public services. So what this committee wants to do is get an accurate count of everybody that lives in Lorain County, you know, and some of the least counted people are children under the age of 5, who by the time the next census rolls around are going to be 14. So you have Head Start that gets affected by that. You have Medicare, you know, not necessarily Medicaid because the older folks are, you know, on the Medicaid, but, you know, children get Medicare, get free lunches, you know, SNAP benefits, WIC benefits, that kind of stuff. This is where the federal government determines, hey, this is where the people are. Once you give your information to the statisticians, to the census takers, none of that can be used to determine your immigration status. It is all anonymous. It will not be given to your landlord who says, oh, you invited an uncle to come live with you. Well, now you can't live here anymore. I'm kicking you out. They can't do that. Not allowed to do that. Not allowed to give it to the police, the CIA, the NSA, FBI, you know, ICE, anything like that. So they're trying to convince and to a certain population of people who may have immigrated to this country, whether with papers or not, you know, some people are afraid that their immigration status is going to be affected if they talk to somebody who's taking information for the census. Not going to happen. So there, it's kind of an uphill struggle at times, you know, depending on your community. And that was the focus of this committee, was basically saying, we're going to start ramping up our efforts to count absolutely everybody.
All right. Well, you saved some of the best for last here, my friend, with these scanner stories. You had some pure gold a couple of hours ago on Twitter. A story that frequently is so weird that you would just automatically assume it took place in Florida.
Oh, boy.
But this one actually took place in Kansas. So I will let you elaborate a little bit on this and any other scanner stories that you care to share, my good man.
Well, I thought this one was really interesting, and I tweeted it to another member of the media who occasionally talks about the Florida men and women in the news. But this one was from the AP Oddities Twitter feed. Kansas man asked the judge for permission to battle his ex-wife and her lawyer in a trial by combat. He also asked the judge for 12 weeks in order to procure samurai swords.
Jeez. You need 12 weeks for that?
Well, you know,
you
I don't know if this is
a
Tori Hanzo sword or not, but this, you know, this is a Kill Bill situation. But
it sounds like it is.
But it may well be. I mean, and a mighty fine deep cut there by myself, if I'm
extremely. Yes, well done, sir.
So does this guy get a friend to help him? Because he's challenged the lawyer and the ex-wife.
Isn't there normally in a duel you have a valet, somebody who hands you the pistols and says, here, take 10 paces.
To challenge two people. The numbers are against him. This doesn't sound like a real bright gentleman.
Is it a battle royale? Is it kind of a round robin?
You challenge two people, you get them both at the same time, I feel.
I would think so.
I think so, too.
Absolutely.
I don't
so.
Know if he gets a friend or what the rules are there.
Yeah.
I guess the judge gets to decide since he asked him.
My guess is if this is the kind of guy that's asking permission to battle his ex-wife and her lawyer in a trial by combat.
Maybe he's trying to lose.
That could be, or maybe,
The ex-wife and lawyer have taken him for everything.
Or perhaps the engine is running, there's just no one behind the wheel.
That's possible. What does that say about the woman who married him?
Well, good point.
Yes.
Well stated. All right, Dave, a pleasure as always, my friend. These are always a blast, and I saw that one pop up on your Twitter feed earlier, and I thought that's way too good to pass up. But we always appreciate you stopping by, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
Hey, happy to do it, and I look forward to next week.
All righty, Dave. Thanks.